Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up? What's happening? What's up from CareFirst Arena specifically, where today the Mystics will open their season. I should say tonight the Mystics will open their season against the Atlanta Dream. We are live outside of section, looks up, section 108. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see behind me they are doing the practicing of the intros, which is quite funny because Anthony, who's back in our studio in D.C. Across the river, as I'm over here in Anacostia, Anthony, they're having to have like all kinds of people stand in for the people who are like the players, or you know, Brittany Sykes is I guess going to say a few words before the game tonight, and so it's like let's go to Brittany Sykes for a few words, and they've had like three different people be like, I don't know what to say. Thanks, let's give it up again for Brittany Sykes.
Have they asked you?
No, they haven't. I was like, anyway. I could. I'm good with microphones. If you want me to give a little speech, I can get everybody riled up. I think I'd be great at it. I can say a word to the fans. So it's gonna be a fun night. There's VIPs. I've confirmed quite a few that are going to be here. Some famous quarterbacks, perhaps multiple. You know, DC's favorite hip hop artist might or might not be in the building tonight, Anthony. So it's gonna be a good time tonight here at CareFirst Arena.
It is. I'm jealous.
You can. Look, your boy, your ticket plug is literally 10 feet to my right.
Hey, so, tell him I said hey.
Anthony says hi. He's on his phone right now. He's locked in. He's like, there's no way this goofball's talking to me. But the point is, Anthony, it's going to be a fun night as the WNBA season opens this weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about it throughout the show. We're also going to have Jamila Weideman, the Mystics general manager, join us live on set. She's in a meeting right now, so once she gets out of the meeting, we'll figure out what time that is going to happen. But you'll also hear from Sidney Johnson, the Mystics head coach today. And then we will also do stuff that's not Mystics, including a conversation with ESPN's Mina Kimes. Mina, of course, one of the best analysts in the NFL media space, panelist on NFL Live, host of her own podcast, which is excellent. It's also the only podcast I know that's co-hosted by a very cute dog. And Mina was on Take Command with us, and we're going to play you that in two parts today at 4:30 and 5:30. So if you're in the car listening for part of the show, you missed the other part of the conversation, I get it. The good news is it's in full in podcast, so wherever you got to leave off, you can pick up there. Also, Logan and I did some reaction to the conversation, so there's some really good stuff that kind of supplements our conversation with Mina in the Take Command feed. But we will air that conversation for you at 4:30 and 5:30 today. We'll put a cap or put a bow on the cap season. I guess we could put a cap on the cap season. Feels a little redundant, but we'll put a bow on the cap season coming up in just a few minutes as well. But Anthony, I'm just being here, and I mean, one, I'm getting like overloaded, sensory overload with hype stuff going on behind me right now. Eventually, I'm sure they'll stop, and I'll just have me sitting and broadcasting to no one in a quiet arena until they open the doors at 6:30 here. But it is kind of just exciting, the precipice of a new season. And, you know, I don't think the Mystics are going to be the best team in the WNBA. I think that there's obviously levels to it, but I do think they'll be better than last year. They would have been better last year with many of the same pieces had they just been healthy. And unfortunately, there are some pieces already banged up. And in fact, about 10 minutes before the show, the Mystics officially announced that Georgia Amore, the sixth overall pick in the WNBA draft, the point guard out of Kentucky who previously went to Virginia Tech, she's going to be out for the season. She underwent the ACL surgery that they had been seeing if there was any kind of other non-surgical options, but ultimately it was a full ACL tear, and she's done for the 2025 season. Also out tonight, Aaliyah Edwards has a low back contusion. Hopefully she's back by like middle of next week. Initially it was 2 weeks, and we're kind of getting right on that 2 weeks precipice, so there's a really good chance that Aaliyah's back sooner rather than later. And then, of course, Shakira Austin is out as well, and that's the one that I don't know more about yet. She has a right lower leg something. That's kind of all we know right now. We are hoping to learn more, you know, obviously in the next couple of days. And, you know, we'll ask Jamila about it when she's on with us a little bit later. But just, you know, the snake bittenness of Shakira Austin seems to be continuing. But when her and Stephanie Dolson and Brittany Sykes were on the floor last year, like, this was a very competitive basketball team. You add Sonia Citron, the third overall pick, Kiki Iriafin, the fourth overall pick, for some depth. They've got some other young pieces that are coming along, including Jade Melbourne, their point guard, who's the youngest player in the league last year, will still be younger. I mean, Jade's younger than most of her rookie teammates, and that's by a couple of years. Like, it's funny because specifically, you know, Georgia Amore, who's the sixth overall pick that I just mentioned, she's going to miss this year. They grew up playing together in Australia. The thing is, you'd think because Jade is on the scene now that Jade would be the older one. Or, sorry, Georgia just got on the scene now and has been in college, that Jade was the older one. No. Georgia turned 24 in April. Jade turns 23 in August. She's still 22 for another couple of months. So it's, I think this team can absolutely fight for the playoffs. In this league, you know, some team's going to have bad injury luck. That is how that's going to go, and the league is small enough that, and there's enough playoff spots that you don't even have to be on the best half of the league. That changes next year when it expands to 16, and there will still be 8 playoff spots. But in this 14-team league now, you're only going to have, 13-team league now with the Golden State Valkyrie coming in this year. You're going to have some teams that are not great record-wise, but that are spunky and can play, that wind up making the playoffs. And that's kind of, Anthony, I think, the tier that this Mystics team is going to be in this year, realistically. And then obviously if they have some things go right, some breaks bounce their way, they finally get healthy on the injury front, then they're set up in good position. And then we'll see. You know, obviously there's a long-term plan here. They have multiple first-round picks next year. The whole league is going to change next year because of the new CBA that's going to cause literally every veteran player in the league that is not on a rookie contract to be a free agent. All the players have opted to be free agents because there's going to be so much more new money available. And so this is going to be a wild year of WNBA basketball, and it kicks off tonight here in D.C.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing exciting as a home opener. And to be honest, Craig, like, on paper, we might not look that good, but at the same token, I would rather the team go out there and prove to, you know, people that, you know, we are still competitive and things of that nature. Because, again, like the Commanders, we were not supposed to be good last year. And we went out there, we exceeded some expectations. And the people you end up mentioning, Brittany Sykes, the Stephanie Dolson, the Shakira Austins, when she gets back, I think we're going to be that team that teams are not going to want to play. Like, we're not going to just roll over. I think we're going to be a tough out in almost every game like we play because of the players that we do have. So, I'm excited. I won't be at the season opener tonight, but I will be at a lot of the games during the season, and I'm excited for them, to be honest.
I'm definitely excited to see how this is going to go. The Mystics want to play fast. They're going to be, and like, in a lot of ways, I mean, this is not coincidence, right? Michael Winger's in charge of both the Mystics and the Mystics and the Wizards at a monumental sports level, and he has a way that he believes basketball is best played, and so he has a point of view, if you will, on basketball. And that point of view is you play fast, you shoot threes, you defend really hard, you play together, you have fun. And those are some of the tenets that they live by on the Wizards side of things. And we saw, even though they weren't very good, especially as the season went, you know, they had a couple of ruts. But, like, really the back half of the season, you really, really saw that if you were still watching the Wizards. You're like, all right, this team's not good, but, like, they're fun. I think the Mystics can be better than the Wizards were, relatively speaking, and play fast and fun. And that's going to be a whole lot of fun tonight. We'll do a little bit more W preview as we go here. Just to let you know, though, tonight you have the Lynx and Wings playing at the same time. So if you're not going to be at the game and you're at home, both those games are on Ion. So if you have W League Pass, I think you'll be able to watch the Lynx and Wings game, because obviously the Dream Mystics will be on here in the D.C. market on Ion. But that is the reigning or the favorite, I should say, for MVP Nafisa Collier, at least the expert's favorite, the betting favorite, is Caitlin Clark. But Nafisa Collier and the defending runner-ups, the Minnesota Lynx, will take on Paige Beckers and the Dallas Wings in their first game tonight at 7:30, and then Sparks Valkyrie tonight. Sparks completely reloaded, led by Kelsey Plum. They will be on the floor tonight at Golden State. That is going to be a sellout crowd at Chase Center in San Francisco, where the Warriors play. It is going to be fire, although the Valkyrie, I don't think, are going to be very good in 2025. When we get back, the Capitals, they had a very good 2024-2025. It just ended in bitter disappointment. So what do we make of that? 301-230-0980. We can take your calls as we put a bow on the Caps season next here on the Hoffman Show.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence, it's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. I'm live at Care First Arena here at, at Care First Arena. That's kind of the whole point. At the Mystics season opener, home opener tonight. I mean, it's their season opener too. It's the first game of the WNBA season. When the ball goes up, it'll be going up the same time in Dallas, and those two games will kick off the WNBA's regular season. Anthony Haney in his usual chair back in our DC studios. And Anthony, last night there was hope. There was hope for the Capitals. And then there wasn't. And that's kind of been how this series against Carolina went. This is a really, really talented Hurricanes team that, you know, every guest we had on, Greg Wyshynski and Sean McDonough of ESPN, Tariq El-Bashir was with us yesterday and was phenomenal, Joe Beninati as well for Monumental Sports Network, and they all talked about how the play style of Carolina was so unique. It's such a hard matchup for the Capitals. It's kind of the worst case scenario for Washington in terms of an opponent, and it really just played out that way. And in fact, the final, you know, the final goal, the deciding goal, the winner there with, what was that, 2 minutes to go, whatever it was. I mean, that back-breaking, series-ending goal comes on the exact kind of thing that Washington had struggled with all series and why Carolina's so hard to play. They just put a zillion pucks on net. And eventually, even if your percentage stinks, 1% of a zillion is more than 3% of 10. And so that's kind of the math they play. And bada boom, bada bing, bada ricochet, that sucker goes in. And the Caps are going home in a series where they just, outside of like, I mean, game two, they obviously looked good, the one they won. And then outside of that, a couple of periods here and there, just never looked like they belonged on the ice with the Hurricanes. And, you know, one, do you agree with that? In your expert hockey opinion, to go with my expert hockey opinion. And two, like, what do we make of that information? Because in some ways, that's more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the game yesterday, I was definitely disappointed. I mean, watching it in real time, Craig, I was struggling to even see how the puck ended up in the net. I still don't know.
I'm glad you said that.
Several replays, and
I still have not seen that puck like go. Not physics broken. Just like that sentence, it didn't make any sense.
No. Yeah. So the fact that we lose on a goal like that, I think it just goes to the point that you were just saying, like, you know, just getting shots on goal. And, you know, having a high volume and eventually one of them is going to, like, land kind of thing. And the fact we lose like that is a little upsetting. But at the same token, I got to salute the Capitals. Again, like, we're not huge Capitals experts or anything, but we also didn't have, like, high expectations for this team, or there weren't high expectations surrounding the team. So the fact that we're even in this position, I think, is a win. I think you look at the year Ovi had, finishing third in the NHL in goals. Like, he's freaking almost 40 years old, and he had his highest output of goals since 2010. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
That part of it is...
Per game, anyway.
Yeah, that part of it is outrageous. And it's not just that he had such a high output, as you said, per game, because he missed that time with a broken leg, but, like, when you're young, you bounce back from injuries faster than when you're older. You bounce back from other things too, like not going to bed on time, even if you don't have an adult beverage. And God forbid you do, you're dead for 3 days. Like, this man broke his leg and then played professional hockey at the highest level you can possibly play it, and he's almost 40. That doesn't make any sense in the whole world. And that's what he did. And that is just so beyond impressive. But I also think that when you crank the intensity in the playoffs, and, like, I think earlier in Ovi's career, some of his playoffs disappointments are why he, you know, is, like, while he's the greatest scorer ever, goal scorer, most prolific in terms of sheer numbers, that's just a counting stat. And while he certainly is one of the best goal scorers ever subjectively, I think that, like, hockey purists or would probably not say, certainly he's better than Gretzky, who is the greatest player ever, bar none. But, I you know, even, you know, the Crosby-Ovechkin stuff over the years, like, Crosby was nails in the biggest moments time after time after time, and Ovechkin has a laundry list of times where he was not necessarily nails. But now that's expected in the playoffs because he's 39 years old. And against Carolina, I think you see that. Just like the need to rely on a 39-year-old is not where you want to be. In the same way that, like, frankly, the Warriors, like, Steph Curry is still their best player, but he's 37 years old. to say, like, man, we need you to be at your best in May. That's a tall task, man. And, you know, the Lakers with LeBron. Like, LeBron's greatness comes from his consistency at this point in his career. The ability to necessarily turn it up. It's one thing if you're in the Olympics and it's for a single game and then you get 3 days off. But in a play every other day type series in the intensity that is the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs, like, that's just hard to do and crank it up like that. And I think it goes back to a question I asked Wyshynski. I think it was Greg at the start of the series, or it might have been Wino at the start of the playoffs, where I just go, is there a world where the Capitals are hoisting the cup, or at least even playing for the cup, where Ovechkin's not the primary driver of their offense? And they were just like, no. Like, he's still their goal creator, their goal scorer. And then you see when you get in a series like this where a younger Alex Ovechkin is probably crushing Carolina Hurricanes all over the ice. There's that play yesterday where he just gets the puck taken out and he looked old trying to chase a dude down because in NHL terms, he's old. And so I think that is a challenge for the Caps front office to know we're going to have this dude score a lot more than he has any business scoring in his age 40 season next year. But we need to have more options in the playoffs because eventually the toll of it all will probably wear him down. And also, what does that mean for how he is treated during the regular season? Can you play him less either per game or just give him some, you know, the old Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, DNP old to save him more for the playoffs? I think that's an intriguing question for Spencer Carberry and the Capitol staff in the offseason to ponder and for the front office to ponder as they build the roster. And they've done a good job putting a floor. Like, this team's going to be good next year. They're going to be around. And so how do they get the best out of Alex in May? That is a huge lingering question.
In hockey, do they load manage, though? Like, is that
a great
thing?
Question. I mean, I'm sure to an extent there's got to be some. I mean, it's physical exertion. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's different hard than running and jumping like you do in basketball. But like this, I mean, Tarek was telling us yesterday, right? There's guys that go out there and skate beautifully and still have power and grace and, you know, agility. And then they get back on their feet and they're limping like crazy. So it's,
yeah.
But it's, you know, part of it's just like an energy thing, dude. Just wait. You're getting closer to 30, bro. You get on the wrong side of 30.
I'm not thinking about anything, you know, down the road.
I'm just telling you, like, as a human being, you just get tired. Yeah. Alex has got Ovi's got kids, bro. Like, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Existing as a human being, existing as a parent. Like, I know he's got a lot of money. He's probably got some help. His wife's doing a lot of stuff. He's still focusing on his hockey, and he'll be dad full time whenever he hangs up the skates, and they're expecting him to be back for at least one more season. He's got one more year on his contract.
Uh-huh.
But it goes back to like the miracle of him with the leg is like he came back like he did, but day to day you just don't recover as fast.
Yeah.
And so in these playoff series where it's high demand, 2 days later, high demand, like, it's a lot of demand. Man.
I don't know how people do it, man. I don't know how they do it.
A lot of massage therapists, a lot of drink a lot of water, which is something I need to do. I need to go find some water. That's on my to-do list. Especially, I got a little bit of time here because up next, we're gonna play something for you that I already did. And, you know, we try not to do that terribly often. We give you a live original programming. But, you know, take command. We do a pretty good job, and I want to let you guys hear from Logan because he's really smart. And then especially when we have other people on the show that are really smart. And there are a few people smarter talking about football than Mina Kimes. ESPN's Mina Kimes joined us for about almost 30 minutes yesterday on Take Command. And that came out this morning. And we're going to share part one of that interview with you next here on The Hoffman Show.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. We will talk to one of the top folks in charge of the Washington Mystics coming up at 5 o'clock. So we're broadcasting live here from Care First Arena ahead of the home opener tonight. But coming up now and again at 5:30, you will hear our conversation in two parts with ESPN's Mita Kimes. The NFL Live panelists joined us on Take Command, and we started off talking about the Commanders' offense through the lens of what we may have missed about them going into last season. Our guest today, back with us for a second straight year in the offseason, is ESPN's Mina Kimes. Of course, you can catch her on NFL Live. You can also check out her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. Mina, I did think about trying to come up with like a dog joke off the top, Lenny style, but I didn't trust to be on your level, so I just skipped that part.
We did a lot of jokes about the Commanders when the first dog was named Commander. Do you guys remember the dog who was biting
Team dog. Yeah,
we were Team Commander, even though he kept biting.
Biden's dog.
Oh, sorry,
because there was also a team dog that was friendly, but then Biden had a dog named Commander who was
He was just biting security guys.
Yeah. Anyways, wasn't great. So that's it. We'll just go with that throwback. We've now saluted Lenny properly here off the top with Mina. But we wanted to bring Mina on to kind of ask a question and get into a fun discussion about team building. Because on some level, all of us missed on the 2024 Washington Commanders. It was we thought they might be okay. They might be bad. There's this problem. There's that problem. And then all of a sudden they won 12 games, went to the NFC Championship game, and we're all scratching our heads going like, how in the world did that happen? And Logan, you and I have talked about this obviously quite a bit. I've asked everybody I can possibly ask kind of the generic version of the question I'm going to start with, Mina, which is like, what did you learn about how a team can win in the NFL by watching the 2024 Washington Commanders that has informed maybe the way you think about team building and such entering the 2025 offseason now, most of the way through the 2025 offseason?
Well, I think I'll start with kind of my biggest miss on them and why I think if I had to pinpoint why I underestimated them the most and why I think they surpassed expectations, it really starts with the offensive line, which I believe you sent me like a long email about. I mean, was it not that long?
But a friendly few paragraphs.
Where I was, because I think when we were doing the preseason, I was like, I like Jane Daniels. Like a lot of these players, but I don't know, this offensive line, I feel like could take the season before it even gets on the ground. That was my biggest concern about the team. And, you pointed out, I think, at the time, and this proved to be true, that, you know, they just brought in a lot of competent vets and raised the floor enough with those free agent additions. I also, I mean, Brandon Coleman was like, well, who knew if like a third round pick was going to be semi-decent, you know, he was. Obviously, they've upgraded in multiple ways, but that gave them a level of competency that I didn't expect. And I think just the fact that they placed an emphasis on getting experience in at that position group really helped elevate the floor of the offense. The ceiling, obviously, was mostly because of the young quarterback, but I thought that was something, when I look back on why the season turned out the way it is, that was the thing I missed the most, and I think maybe one of the biggest takeaways I have.
Yeah, yeah, I think the other thing, real quick, Logan, that I mentioned in that note, Mino, was too, like, the coaching schematic element of it, where Bieniemy in 23 just hung Sam Howell out to dry, and quarterbacks, you know, we also know sacks can be such a quarterback stat, and we saw Jaden avoid some of the sack taking that he had at LSU, which I know was a concern as well. So I think that also meshes well with what you and Kevin said on the most recent version of your show when talking about why the Eagles have been so good. They understand that, you know, team building is done through the trenches, and obviously the Commanders, like, prioritize that in a way that I don't think we fully appreciated until we were deeper into the season.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I go back to, like, because if you just looked at the paper and, like, said personnel decisions, like, I think you're totally right. I mean, like, there's not a lot to be super excited about. You get Allegretti, who's kind of been a swing guard. Wiley was kind of a swing tackle for a while. But I do think there's a, like, the schematic element is something that I definitely underrated. And I think, you know, like, seeing Cliff in a full-time offensive coordinator role, like, what were your takeaways from him? Because I look at what he did with the offensive line, what he did with the quarterback, and how he elevated not only Jaden, but really the entire offense. And so I think, like, we always talk about Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, you know, Andy Reid is the loser can get it done. But I felt like he showed a lot of that last year in terms of elevating the personnel.
Yeah, I agree. I first few weeks of the season, I was just like, maybe, I think, like, literally the first 2 weeks, I was like, yeah, here we go again. You know, just 2.1 average depth of target, if I remember correctly. I don't know what your guys' experience was watching those games, but I was like, oh, this is going to be good run game, an inordinate amount of screens, not really going to push the ball downfield. And then he really opened up the passing game as the year went along in a way that I thought was really impressive. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, in Arizona, I was always surprisingly, I always felt like he deserved more credit maybe than he got for how creative and dynamic the run game was in Arizona. And that is something you certainly saw continue with this Commanders team throughout the season. So that wasn't surprising per se. But I do think, yeah, you know, as the year went on, and there's always talk about Cliff Kingsbury and what happens in the second half of the season, I saw tweaks with regards to the capabilities of the quarterback and then some of the personnel as they were kind of figuring out their roles that I thought were really impressive. You know, I think, like, again, just the way that they use tempo as a weapon. There were things that he did that we saw at earlier points in his career, but I thought very just constantly saw smart game plans and smart in-game adjustments. And that was really impressive to me.
I think the other question I think about a lot when I think about, you know, asking myself, what did we miss in 2024, was the culture element of it. And you referenced, you and Kevin Clark did your annual coach and GM rankings on your show. And one of the guys that you had in the top five was Dan Campbell, who, while I think also is underrated in terms of what he brings schematically, and, like, he's a very, very smart football guy, not just a culture guy. Yeah. Obviously, his defining feature is he is a culture builder. Where do you put Dan Quinn kind of on your list, and what kind of you know, boost do you think that gave, an organization that gave to the Commanders last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was phenomenal last season. Something specific that I don't know if we talked about it enough was how aggressive he was, and which you mentioned Dan Campbell, and that kind of clicked him. I mean, I guess they kind of look alike too, but they're definitely the two coaches you would rank in your top five if you were doing a battle royale between all the NFL coaches, that's for sure. But yeah, like I think, you know, and it wasn't like he was actually conservative in his first stint with Atlanta going back. I have to look it up, but I remember he was definitely not, for a defensive coach, on the conservative side, or like frustratingly so. And that some of that had to do with having like one of the greatest offenses in NFL history, of course. But I think, you know, with this team, again, realizing how unbelievably effective they were on fourth down for a litany of reasons, I really liked what he showed us as a game manager, the way he approached Also games where they weren't supposed to win. And you have a coach like that who understands if you're the underdog, you're going to coach aggressively. I think it's really impressive. So just to pinpoint a specific thing, I thought he did really well. Aside from all the other thing that obviously like players love the dude and would run through a wall for him. And that's been the case at every single stage of his coaching career from Atlanta to when he was a coordinator in Dallas.
And that's something that I'm glad you brought up, because I think it's something that I think about with the team last year in terms of missing. Like, I don't think anyone could have predicted like an 87% fourth down conversion rate. Like, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. And everyone
talks about the best in NFL history, that one.
Yeah, and so I look at like what Cliff did, and like Cliff did a lot of good stuff. Jaden did a lot of good stuff. But like when you are converting at that kind of percentage, like it just puts it stacks the deck in your favor. So how much of it is just, I don't want to say statistical variance, because, you know, I'm a fan of the Commanders. I want it to be something more concrete, something more palatable, the culture, all this. But how much does that play a role? And even the third down conversion, they were 45%, I think, was third best in the NFL. Both those numbers are very volatile. Like, is it just that offensively, or is there something more going on here?
I think when you have a quarterback who's both
that was a good by the way, solid
Yeah, no, I got to think it through it, because the nerd in me is like, there's always going to be a little bit of regression. I mean, if you have a number like that, it's going to regress. But also if you have a quarterback who's both an elite decision maker and a top, you know, whatever he is, dual threat quarterback in the NFL, just from a pure numbers perspective on, we're speaking about fourth down in particular, you're always just going to create, it's the same, you know, with the Bills and Josh Allen. He's a very different type of runner, but, and obviously the Eagles being the case study for that. So you're always gonna be better than expected on fourth down. And then you also have, you know, a good power back, a good creative run game. You have, I think, like players who are very good on screens as well, not on fourth down, but just thinking about some of the third down stuff too. I think that's the other thing, to go back to third down, like the Commander, I'd have to look up how often they were in third and long. I don't think it was anything.
Well, that's something they worked the hell out of, right? They're really, I remember like in spring and in summer, like one of the drills they did, which was unusual, I thought, was they spent a lot of time in second and 10. So they're trying to get to third manageable all the time. And you see the way Cliff calls games, you know, like I cover the team, so I watch every single game, you know, obviously you got a lot of stuff to worry about, but you know, that like getting to third and five, some like the number one priority for him as a play caller.
Yeah. I want to go and look this up, but it felt like, Jaden, you know, when you have like a quarterback who's an elite distributor and again, like is always seems to always make the right decision on third down, but it didn't feel like it was like, hey, Jaden, go make a play a lot of the time. I mean, this is what's so interesting about him being a rookie quarterback and playing the way he did. It was like, no, it's third and manageable. And he knows, you know, he's going to make the right decision, read the coverage correctly, put the football in the exact right place, and it's going to be just enough every time, it felt like. So, you know, you put that a lot of that on Cliff and a lot of that on their approach to how they got to third down, but I think a lot of that has to do with the young quarterback as well.
So as someone who does study the league, like, and has seen teams that can consistently do this versus teams that maybe it is more of a statistical anomaly in any given season, like, do you think the Commanders can, like, what of the Commanders 2024 is repeatable based off of their personnel, based off of the fact that they brought back all their coaches kind of against the grain? When you're this good, you typically don't get a second crack at it, but they're going to. Like, what is repeatable for them, especially offensively, and some of the ways that they approach the game in 2025 in your mind?
Yeah, I think offensively, if I was looking for something that I would be concerned about, I thought the line did play ski a little bit over the, I don't know what the expression is, but the Commanders recognized that, which I think really you got to acknowledge. Like, I know I started off by saying the offensive line was better than I expected. They still weren't good. And I think that was very obvious at the end of the season, right? This was not, it was just, there was such a profound mismatch, the line of scrimmage with Philadelphia and some of the other teams in the NFL. And I think for the team to not only be aggressive in pursuing Tunsil, but then also, again, double dip at that position, I thought was really smart team building, to go back to kind of the premise. So, you know, like they weren't just like, okay, cool, we had this unbelievably efficient offense and a rookie quarterback and one of the best rookie quarterback seasons of all time. Let's just run it back. They didn't. I think that is, and we can get to the Debo addition as well, which I think also plays into the third and fourth down stuff. But yeah, so I think that alone will stave off a lot of the regression that you might see, because there were areas, I would say, like, you know, some of the big plays, I wouldn't say there were busted coverages, but you got a lot of one-on-ones with Terry McLaurin that you might not get otherwise, you know, so much of the comebacks were powered by, you know, go balls, which is Jane Daniels' specialty. And they'll still be on the table, no doubt, but defenses will obviously play them differently. But again, if the offensive line improves and then you have a yards after catch weapon like Deebo Samuel, you can neutralize that or mitigate it to some degree.
So I got kind of a football nerdy question. Like how, you know, like obviously you get better people.
Mean is right? Like, yes, my favorite kind. So, let's go.
Yeah. You get better people in, you spend a first round draft pick on an offensive lineman, right? And we talked about how, you know, the offensive line kind of was over their skis a little bit last year, but like just getting more talented pieces does not a good offensive line make. You know, there's like a galvanization that needs to happen. And like, does that need to be accounted for when you're kind of like assessing how they're going to be in 2025? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it, how do you trust in coaching again and saying, oh, they did it once before, they can do it again? Or is it just kind of flip a coin and hope you're right kind of deal?
You mean with the offensive line in particular?
Correct. Because anytime you add new pieces, it's always a little bit like, you know, everyone says like on paper you should be better, but that's, we've seen that millions of times not play out.
Yeah. No, it's I think the one thing I like about it is the combination of veteran and a veteran addition and youth to sort of address that, because I think it would be one thing for them to like, expecting like you can strike gold to get like, we got a third rounder. He came in and he was like decent. And Brandon Coleman, Josh Connerly's going to come in and be a productive starter right away. I wouldn't like that bet. But the fact that they did both him and I love when teams generally approach a position with both a veteran and a young player. It's just kind of like a thing. I really like team building anyways, whether it's at, you know, bookend tackles or linebackers, tight ends, learning from each other. It's kind of like, I think it's really the smartest way to build a team from a developmental standpoint and then competing in the short and long term. So I think like the way they approached it to me was perfect, frankly, to avoid what you're talking about. I think it's also possible though that like they might ask more of them, right? Like they might not be in as many, you know, there might be a little bit of, the run game is a thing where actually it's funny. We're talking about regression and I was saying, I felt that they'd be able to stave off some issues with the pass game. I think the run game could be, that'll be an interesting thing to see. Again, having Jaden back there, it's similar to with Lamar, just helps you so much in the run game. And Cliff is a very designed, creative run caller as well. It's a really fun rushing attack to watch. It's not my favorite room backs in the league. And it's not that they didn't, I guess they drafted someone. Sorry, I late, right?
They got Bill late, Jacory Kroski-Merritt.
Best nickname in the draft. And say just, I have strong takes on him or watched him.
He's a seventh round pick. We'll see.
Okay. So you always get a natural boost from those circumstances in that context. But I do think that you could see some potentially some regression.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Lots of energy. Lots of people doing lots of things here at Care First Arena ahead of the Mystics home opener tonight. Again, Care First Arena, the new home of, or the new name for the same home of the Mystics, ESA, is where we are. If you're watching us on YouTube, you see, hello, it's right behind us. The we're outside section 108. The floor is down there. That's a wall. Outside the section. Okay, Anthony, we just heard from Mina Kimes, and you know, I thought it was really interesting, not just in the conversation with Mina, but the conversation that I had with Logan following that, which folks can hear in the Take Command feed. And again, part two of our conversation with Mina is coming up at 5:30. But the idea of the Commanders' offensive line being seen by the organization is something that still needed to be improved, even though they may do in 2025 and or in 2024. Going into the offseason of 25, the aggressiveness with which they acquired Laremy Tunsil, with which they used their first-round pick. But we just assume that it's going to be better. And I do think like this is one of the key, not, I wouldn't say concerns. Like, I'm not worried, but I'm not worried because I trust the staff. But it is one of the key initiatives. I'll use that word. That was very business-like, big business of me. Key initiatives in 2025 for the Commanders is to first identify the best positions for Connerly, for Brandon Coleman, which I think people hope are left guard and right tackle. Left guard for Coleman, right tackle for Connerly. But then, of the other dudes, of Urbig, Wiley, Allegretti, who's playing that right guard spot, and then getting some cohesion so that group can play at a really high level.
in front of Jaden in 2025.
Yeah, and I think even when you look around the NFL, even if you just look at the Super Bowl, you have to have a good offensive line. And, you know, 1 year you can do just enough to get by. And I think we saw that with the Chiefs where they were able to get by year after year because of Patrick Mahomes being a magician and, you know, being able to extend plays with his legs. But at some point it was going to catch up to them, and it caught up to them in the Super Bowl when they faced that Eagles defensive front. So I think addressing the offensive line as we've done, I think they just see how important it is to have, you know, good offensive linemen in the trenches and just being able to, like, win the trenches battle in general.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I thought there was a great moment on Mina's most recent podcast. It's her and it's Kevin Clark. And they were doing their top five coach and GM rankings, and they're having all these different discussions off of that. And, you know, they're talking about Howie Roseman, and Kevin was like, I was reporting a story once in Philly, and they, like, gave me a ton of access. I'm talking to a million people in the front office. And eventually one of the guys just pulls me aside, and he goes, hey, all this stuff you're getting, don't forget this. We know that all the other stuff we do only matters because we have invested in the trenches. And I'm messing up the direct quote, but that was the sentiment. Was like, none of this other stuff matters unless we have the trenches right, which is why the Eagles just take a million swings at linemen, and some of them turn out to be Jordan Mailata. Some of them bust out, but that's fine because they took enough swings to always make sure they have enough depth that that position is not an issue. And, by the way, they have the best offensive line coach in football, and that allows them to do things like win with Jalen Hurts when against behind a lot of other offensive lines. Like, that dude couldn't play quarterback in the league. He holds the ball too long. Against that offensive line, his accuracy, his mobility, all the things he does, the effect he has on the run game, and they're awesome in the run game too, like, can absolutely shine. Saquon on the Giants isn't a winning football player because he's just running into dudes all the time. Saquon on the Eagles is the best back we've ever seen. Like, it just, you have to be good up there. And I think this is something that Adam seems to fundamentally understand, that Dan fundamentally understands, that those guys believe. And it's fun to see how that has gone into the team building each of the last couple of years. I know people aren't psyched about the defensive line group, but they put a floor underneath themselves in a way that was really nice. And we're actually going to talk about that with Mina coming up at 5:30. When we get back, though, we'll be joined by one of the top decision makers of the Mystics. That's our top story today. It is opening day. We're live at Care First Arena here on the Team 980.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.